USA Chat, July 19, 2022. Everybody remains silent until Sat joins the meeting.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Satyan. Thank you for joining us and giving us this opportunity. If you may, we can ask everyone if they like to start with sharing or have questions and sharing.
Whatever you guys want to do, let's do it with the open heart and alert, conscious.
Hi, Sat. This is Kumud. I have a sharing, something that was very inspiring that I would like to share with you and everyone. Monday morning, I went for a walk early in the morning, and I was listening to one of the Reno Center study circle, and it was about how to, the topic was related to how to keep the treasure house secure down there and accessible, and how we can reach it easily from Most Precious. When I got home, I had just closed my phone, and then I was getting ready for work, and I was actually getting late for work, and I was driving to work, and I saw just right by my house, like one block down, a man on a, he had a wheelchair next to him, and he had no legs, both legs were missing, and he was on the floor on the sidewalk, and I was in the left lane, so I saw him, and then I was supposed to make a left turn at the light, and I kept looking at him from the rear mirror, and I'm like, maybe he needs help. And I was like, oh, and then the thoughts keep coming, you know, oh, but you're late for work. And then automatically somehow I just made a U-turn and I went back to that other lane, and there's no way where to park for me or anything. So I just put my blinkers on and I rolled down the window and I asked the man, I'm like, sir, do you need any help? And he said, yes. Do you have a cigarette? So I'm like, no, I don't have a cigarette. And so he goes, I'll buy it from you. And I'm like, sorry, but I don't smoke and I don't have a cigarette. But are you okay? And he said, yes, I'm okay. And he just said, have a blessed day. And then he just put his head down and just like closed his eyes on the sidewalk next to his wheelchair. And when I was looking at him, it seemed like he was reaching up to his wheelchair to climb on. And I thought maybe he fell down and he needed help or something. But he said he was fine. So then I started driving back to work again. And the phone automatically connected to the car. And Kavi was still ending the meeting, the Reno Center meeting, and the thoughts kept coming in my head. I was just not able to, like, think, like, you know, I'm like, could I have done more? What if I, like, you know, would have given him food? Or, but I'm like, oh, he had money. He was willing to buy the cigarette from me. So I was like, okay, could I have done more? And the thoughts kept coming to me. And even though I just listened to the study circle and where everybody were sharing their, you know, experiences and things, and it's like how to connect to the treasure house, how to access it so easily. But I was just not able to connect, and the thoughts just kept coming. And then your voice came up on the audio and you said something. I thought that was very, very inspiring. It's about two paragraphs. Is it okay if I read that?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So you said, well, since it is the end of the meeting, let's experience this treasure house now. And we all will experience it again and again, firsthand. That is how accessible it is. And also to remember that spirituality is not a punishment. So we cannot punish ourselves and say, I should be in this space all the time. No, our sincerity will attract this inner grace and things happen on their own. But it is a very effortless effort, meaning we taste it and then we take that taste in our daily life and we can remember again and again. That would be nice. If we forget, we will remember it again, and I'm sure. Then you lead us to the meditation, just that beginning portion of your voice that I was listening to touched my heart so much, and immediately, like, all those thoughts just like disappeared. And of course, the meditation all the way to my work, I was listening to it, and I was so easy to connect, and I was just like I felt like I was like somewhere else, and it was so beautiful. And I just wanted to say thank you. Even though you're not physically there, it seems like somehow you're always helping us and helping with either audios, videos, or just your thought of you being there, like how I do when I practice Are You With Me, is just so precious. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much.
Uma, thank you so much for sharing that. It has a very strong point in it. The point is that in your story, even though your action was so noble and so kind, so full of compassion, it still took away your peace of mind, because you had to leave your natural state to attend to something that is good and wholesome. And when you turned back and you had this audio playing in your car, immediately everything was released and you were home. And that's something for everyone to remember, that when we have too much activity daily, I'm talking about in general, that we begin to lose equanimity, even if it's the highest thing. I think the home is inviting us to check in, to release everything in there. So it was a very, very beautiful story to tell, and I'm sure we all benefit from it.
Thank you so much, Sat.
Salam Sat Junam. This is Gopi. I like to share something. While I was on my trip, during the 2 weeks of that trip, I tried to be present with all the activities, stay in the moment, and basically try to stay conscious and be aware of myself, my practices during most of my daily activities. And in most part, of course, with your grace, it was effortless, and I was able to do that. I was happy about that. I mean, I was content for that. Last night of the trip, I had a dream. I was in the bathroom, and as I was getting up to leave, I noticed the head of a man looking through a very tiny window, watching me with his big eyes. And as I got up and grabbed the doorknob to open the door and leave, the guy crawled in through that small window and grabbed my hand. He put his hands over my hands, not to open the door. I should say that the window was so small that it was impossible for a person to go through that window. And that alone showed how unreal, that scenario or that scene was. Anyway, as I was trying to open the door, the guy grabbed my hands. And at that moment, obviously my body was showing reaction, scared, a lot of fear. But at the same time, at that moment, something pulled me in, and it pulled me in my heart. And at that moment, I could clearly feel my existence. And also at the same time, clearly, I was able to see my emotion or reaction and my existence in two separate entities. I could clearly see, I wasn't identifying with my emotions, I was mostly enjoying the inner. And, you know, when I woke up, when it woke me up for quite some time, actually, I was in silence and, you know, I was calm, basically. So I just wanted to share this with so much gratitude and really, really love for you, for all these opportunities you give us to hear, to practice, to experience, and to live, you know, the art of living that you have given us, so precious, so precious. Thank you so much, and I love you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Gopi.
Hi, I'm so, this is Saranya.
I'm Saranya.
Thank you so much for everything, Seth. I feel life much easier and much better now with all the tools and with all the practices. I could see the change very lately in everything. Usually I get tensed when there is a deadline in work or if there is a homework to do at home. But I feel now just I'm going with the flow and I'm not taking any thoughts in my head and everything is taken care to perfection. So thank you so much, sir, for everything.
This is good news that you guys are just giving each other. It's lovely to see that it really, really works. Not because I said so, because it is. Your everyone's experience, you know, and it's nothing better than your own experience, because we can be inspired by somebody else's experience, but we cannot be realized by somebody else's experience.
Thank you, sir. And I have a question.
Sure.
So last week, Farna shared about the principle of divinity is love. And in that, you have talked about forgiveness. You have told that forgiveness is not to ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness really happens when there is adjustment and erasing of what it was to give way to something much more beautiful. I would like to have more understanding on this forgiveness, Seth. Thank you. Should I read the whole paragraph, Seth?
So your question is, elaborate more on forgiveness, right?
Yeah, on the forgiveness that you have explained here.
Yeah, please do read it then.
It is not important that you get angry or you get disgusted or you get this and that. But if it doesn't feel good and we are holding on to it too much and it is taking us from our goal, I want us to know we have endless possibility and opportunity to turn it around. And a lot of people in this world do not know that. And you have told that it's very important to remember. This is why in the Bible it says to forgive whatever many times that it says. What does that mean? It means that, yes, mistakes are done, but what are you going to do to remedy it? That to me is forgiveness. I don't think everybody understands what I'm saying about forgiveness. It is a very weird approach. Forgiveness is not to ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness really happens when there is adjustment and erasing of what it was to give way to something much more beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, forgiveness normally is referred to day-to-day life. When we feel like we hurt someone by our words or we made some mistake, or if someone tries to tell us that what we did was not acceptable, or if they have done it to us. In any case, forgiveness is to just say, I'm sorry, and move on, or accept somebody's apology, and move on. And forgiveness is not like this at all. Forgiveness has to happen in the heart. In other words, it's not a verbal, it's not even action of forgiveness. When we erase something, some animosity, some hurt from our heart because it doesn't feel good, and when we correct it, if there is a big mistake, if we get it, we understand it, and instead of condemnation, we just let it go and get it. When we get it, is the change already happened. And so forgiveness really is not for the person that you're forgiving. It is for your own heart to move on. And it is so, so precious, because so many people hold on to the memories of different hurt, different events, different incident in their life, and they can't either forgive themselves, or they cannot forgive the situation or the person that was involved. And that really stops us from going home. So more than apologizing, more than wanting to be apologized to, is to letting go. To totally letting go and letting the memory to erase. So this is my way of thinking. And one of the incident that, if some of you have seen it in one of the old videos, I was saying this story that helped me understand the real compassion and real forgiveness was when a pope that I really liked was shot by a person, a young man, and he survived. But then that's a real story. And then they put the young man in jail because they catch him right away. And after the pope was healed, he went to the jail, to the prison, and looked at this young man and said, "Young man, I have totally forgiven you as our Father has," meaning God, "and go and sin no more." Now, by having said that, they didn't open the prison door and let the guy out. But what happened was that the Pope released himself and released the guy from having any type of karma together. And by doing that, there is a beautiful peace that takes place. And this story stayed with me. It really, really hit me hard to understand the real thing is not that you forgive and you become friend with someone that is not capable of changing, is releasing yourself from that tie in your own heart, in your private inner world. And that's something for all of us to remember. I mean, it's foolish to forgive someone that constantly does the same thing that is harmful, as far as wanting to associate with and be close with and still continue giving love. But I think when you pull back and have this strength to release it from your heart, you have also released that person. I know it was a long explanation, but
thank you so much, sir. This is so, so huge. It changed the concept of forgiveness to another level. Thank you.
You know, another thing that came to my mind is, in ordinary life, when someone comes to you and say, "I'm sorry," you say, "Okay, I forgive you." but it's not true at all. Our heart is still aching. We're still upset, but we had to respond to it. Okay, you apologize. And that is so much on the surface that doesn't do anybody any good. Not the person that apologized, not the person that accepted. So even when we want to apologize to someone, it's best to look at ourselves and understand what it was that needed to do an apology for, and then change it. Change it in our own heart. That to me is worth much more than verbal apology.
Jackie, this is Kathy. I just had a follow-up question to that, the forgiveness conversation. When someone's heart is hardened because they're so angry, right, and they can't let it go, what tools would you throw at that situation of our tools? Which ones do you think are the best to kind of keep putting towards that heart so that it can let it go and soften?
Well, Kevin, it all depends on the person that you want to help. If they are not spiritually equipped, then you go with logically. I mean, what I was explaining to Serenia could be applied here by saying that, making it more humanly accepting by saying that holding on to anger is poison. It's just that's what it is. And maybe physically you can talking about the physicality of it, maybe it would be better for them. But in any case, the tools that is best for it is trust in the form of letting it go with all one's might, because it just doesn't feel good. And for us, of course, it's much easier. You just stay while the angry thoughts are going. You just stay until they're gone.
Thank you.
Sachin, what about the times that we have done something that has hurt somebody in some way in the past that we don't even see that person anymore, that we can do anything to make up for that?
You let it go. When you let it go, you have let go of the body identification, otherwise you would hold on to it. And when you don't have that moment body identification, there is no consequence. You just let it go. Let go of the memory and the doership.
Sajjan, letting go means like recognize it, look at it, to break it?
No, when it's old, you just let it go. You don't need to analyze it or look at it. When it's old, something you've done in past, why look back? Let it go. Just the fact that you feel bad about it, you have understood that your action wasn't right. Why stay there? Now, it's a different story when there is a correction comes from within me to you guys. And I always say that I don't want any excuses or I don't want apology. I just want you to get it because it's good for you. That's a different story.
Alan Fatun is Nasrin. You know, what helps me in this kind of situation is always whose fault is it? This really helps me because I completely understood it through the story, that whose fault is it, whether it's me hurting other people or other people hurting me. So it makes it easier for me to let it go. Thank you.
Yes, that's a beautiful thing to remember. It really is. But if it's not possible, then you decide to let it go because it's not beneficial whatsoever. We're trying to have the original heart that was given to us, that center of our being. Therefore, we safeguard it.
Such as is, this is Sepide. Good evening. About 10, 12 years ago, I was in a situation that something happened that really hurt me deeply. And it wasn't one act that would be gone. I had to live with the results of that situation for years. So it was something that kept, I had to keep living it, basically. But through your tools, and I'm sure I've used several of the tools, not just one, but what I could say was that how I could, first of all, I noticed very early that this is really hurting me, that feeling of being angry or feeling that something wrong was done to you. It was very heavy on me. And through your practices, the best way I can describe it is that I kept going up that high rise you're talking about, that whether you're on the first floor, you see the view differently, your 10th floor, the view is different. Just kind of try to elevate myself to a floor that I don't see the small details of the story. And I can say, honest to goodness, for the most part, it's not part of my daily consciousness. Obviously, if I want to try hard, I remember it. You know, it was something that was for a long time. I had to live with this situation. But I could say that it really is not part of my daily consciousness, and it's not weighing heavy on me at all. So I want to just thank you so much. And I'm sure I used all of your tools because it wasn't an easy situation. But it was a huge load off of my consciousness. It was just, thank you so much.
Thank you for reminding us of that that example. It's so true. It all depends on our view. And when you move higher up, it's less visible. And you see the whole scenario is not just the part of it to zoom in. Yeah. Before I go, I would like to read you guys something that I received yesterday. Every so often, I don't know how, I receive a saying from Ramana Maharshi, and when I read that today, there was an incredible joy just streamed down my body, because I felt like, yes, we're being directed by God, and it gives us encouragement about what we are doing. So it goes like this. Just find it. Someone asking, but Sri Bhagavan has specified a particular place for the heart within the physical body, which is in the chest, 2 digit to the right from the middle. And then Bhagavan says, meaning Ramana, yes, that is the center of a spiritual experience according to the testimony of the sages. This spiritual heart center is quite different from the blood-propelling muscular organ known by the same name. The spiritual heart center is not an organ of the body. All that you can say of this heart is that it is the very core of your being, that which you are really identical to. Whether you are awake, asleep, or dreaming, whether you are engaged in work or immersed in samadhi, which is transcending the world, it is there. Now, when I read that, I realized that we are calling that home. And he is saying that it's just the center of our being. And how beautiful it is that we all visit it, we all know where it is, we all know how it feels. And it's as if to say that we are in the world, but we have the kingdom to go to. So on that note, namaste to all of you. Have a wonderful week.